On today's episode of Locked On Cubs, we get into the long-awaited discussion about David Ross. We grade his 2022 season. We preview the 2023 season and talk about his overall managerial tenure so far as Cubs manager. It's a big one.
Locked On Cubs, your daily Chicago Cubs podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into Locked On Cubs. Alongside Sam Olber, I'm Matt Cozy. Pleased to be with you for a Friday episode. Always having fun on a Friday. And today's episode is brought to you by Bet Online. BetOnline has you covered this season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline, where the game starts. Thanks for making us your first listen every day. We're lifelong fans taking our passion into discussion with you on all things Cubs. And the discussion today for a majority is going to be manager David Ross. We've had some good discussion about him already in our run on this program, Sam, but this is more of a definitive Ross episode, including a grade from 2022, or perhaps even more than that, and looking forward to talking about the leader in the dugout for the Cubs.
Matt, before the 2020 season, the Chicago Cubs hired David Ross. They replaced David Ross. David Ross was replacing Joe Maddon, right? Mm-hmm. I have been pretty open on this show and pretty public on this show that for most of the run of David Ross, I have not been impressed. Let me tell you what has impressed me first, because there is some small stuff.
Okay.
I thought he did a good job during the 2020 shortened season. I thought that year, what separated the Cubs winning that division over the Cardinals and Milwaukee was the Cubs just wanted it more. They took those early games really seriously, and they stole a division they couldn't hit, and that's why that ended. And then, obviously, the second half of this past season. Now, if you're a little bit cynical, which I am, you can say that that was more due to just some insane pitching and that you or me would have managed that. But I think the guys played hard for him down the stretch and took the game seriously when they were out of it. And that is part of being a good major league manager. So I will say that for David Ross. Here is my issue with David Ross. It's a couple of things, Matt. And we'll get into the grade later on. Mm-hmm. We were led on by Theo that the reason why Joe Maddon was let go and the reason why David Ross was brought on was an accountability thing, right? Joe Maddon was becoming too buddy-to-buddy with the core players, and that David Ross was going to be this guy that held everybody accountable, and he was going to be this leader, this guy that's not like Joe Maddon. It was a different voice for these players. And I never understood that, Matt, because he was friends with these guys on the team. And when he came on the team, it was obvious. There was no accountability being held. The core guys had their worst run ever in Chicago Cub uniforms with David Ross as the manager. Whether you want to count the 2020 season as an aberration or not is up to you. But the 2021 season, people forget. Everyone always says, oh, the Cubs decided to rebuild. All the guys that we all love were on that team. They lost 11 straight games. And this year, early on, that team was not that bad. They lost 10 straight games, two double-digit losing streaks in less than a calendar year. You can't not look at the manager there. I am not going to buy that that's a talent thing, because those same group of guys in 2022 started playing much better as the season went on. So that's an issue for me. Real quick, before I get into some other stuff, I want to let you make any comments so far.
Well, it's a well-constructed argument. I think all fans should give room in their real estate of their fandom to allow to think about the manager and don't be so quick to judge, but also try to consider the different thoughts and feelings and even the analysis of the situation. And you know, as I even sample, you know, other content or whatever it may be, or maybe, you know, beat writers or whatever it is, I don't necessarily always, or actually very infrequently, hear a lot of quality Ross conversation. And I do think that his position is going to be very vital in 2023. He signed through 2024. It's going to be important what he does. But I also think that, or I would say in addition to what you're saying, Sam, it does strike me as odd that if the accountability angle was the one of the largest angles at the time of his hiring, that does seem to seem like it strikes an odd chord. But we are now learning, just even the last month, how much Joe Maddon and the new days of baseball just really isn't adding up. And so you got to wonder behind the scenes if David Ross is just is more worth the Cubs' time. And Joe Maddon is not a figure that teams want to fight or that teams want to try to have conflict with. It didn't end that well with the Angels. You know, that's probably a whole nother show about analytics in the game. But I think David Ross is somebody that he is heeding the front office's advice. He is listening to what they're saying. He is taking their suggestions. And I think that was probably an important piece to the hire.
Well, absolutely great point. And I'd like to for David to take a couple of the following suggestions. If Nico Horner is batting with a 3-2 count and a man on first, that runner should be moving 100% of the time. In that same situation, Patrick Wisdom batting, that runner should not be moving because he's probably going to strike out or walk. Little things like that I saw that were too egregious. Nobody is making the first or third out at third base. It's not a merry-go-round. Have some discipline around the bases. If Seiya Suzuki is called out on a strike three pitch 6 inches off the plate every single game, get up off your bench and get thrown out of the game once in a while and show your teammate, one of your best players that you're protecting him and that you actually care about the game instead of giving the bird to former teammates, to La Stella and Jock Peterson in the middle of the game. I don't like that stuff, Matt. That stuff rubs me the wrong way. This isn't a joke. You're the manager of the Chicago Cubs, one of the most premier franchises in all of sports, and you need to be held to a higher standard. Be a leader, okay? I want more of the David Ross the last month, and I'm not just saying because they won, than the David Ross from the first couple of months. Using your bullpen better, taking more games seriously, not throwing your best, saving your best reliever for the late innings when there's a huge spot in the seventh, blow the game in the seventh and use said reliever when you're down two in the ninth. Those things don't make sense. Those things need to get fixed. And we're going to talk about why they have to be fixed or what's going to happen to him after next season. Anything else to add?
Yeah, I think so. I want to add a little bit just about his background that I've been, I try to go to his background as little as I can because your resume as a player only goes so far as a manager, but I am encouraged by it. And I do want to break down this past year and take a peek ahead, but yeah, I get a kick out of that stuff. And I do think that if the individual wants it to impact them now in their leadership position, I think it could. Because David Ross played for Jim Tracy, Lloyd McClendon, Bruce Bochy, Terry Francona, Bobby Cox, and Joe Maddon.
Great list.
It's a great list. So what is he going to do about that? Are you sitting on that information? Are you sitting on those experiences? Or have you started to unlock some of those? And by the way, maybe it's not all for us to see. We just see from innings 1 through 9, from the first pitch to the last pitch. Obviously, you know, media availability pre and post game. But yeah, maybe there's stuff in the clubhouse or in the dugout or pregame or postgame. But that list is always, I've always gotten a rise, obviously, out of that list. And I will say that does give me some encouragement when it comes to what Ross could be as a manager. Has there been a lot of evidence yet? No. But I think there's a lot of room for growth. And I think that could happen starting anytime.
But Matt, yes. This is year 4.
This will be year 4 coming up.
Dale Swaim got what, 2 years? Ricky Renteria got 1 year. Like this is baseball. This is year four. This is a pretty long time. And I have yet to see anything that convinces me that he's an elite manager. But I am not going to hold him super accountable for 2022. And I am going to give him the 2023 season. And I believe this will be the telltale sign, whether fair or unfair. Mm-hmm. Assuming Jed Hoyer and Mr. Ricketts spend money and put out a roster that we like, this team has to be competitive. And if they aren't, what are the odds that he is not the manager by 2024? Speaking of odds, Matt, tell us about Bet Online.
BetOnline.net is your number one source for betting football and the start of the new basketball season. Find all the latest player developments, team matchups, news, podcasts, and in-depth analysis on every game. And as always, BetOnline remains your continued source for all your sports wagering info with live betting and up-to-the-minute scores for every sport out there. For example, the Iowa Hawkeyes football team is a 1.5-point favorite this Saturday in Kinnick Stadium against the rival Wisconsin Badgers. Big game in Iowa City. The fastest and easiest way to check in all your favorite games and events, including MLB, MMA, boxing, and golf. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more. Bet Online, where the game starts.
Matt, I am going to give you, welcome back, everybody. I'm going to give you, I'm doing a little host thing today. I'm going to give you two questions I'd like you to answer them in any way that you'd like to answer them. I'll go one at a time. Question number one, what is your official David Ross grade for 2022? We're not going to do a year-to-date grade because that's complicated. Just the 2022 season, what grade would you give the manager based on decisions that were made, based on actions, based on wins? What grade would you give?
C.
Okay. Any elaboration that you care to make?
Well, I think about what grades we gave the team. Like when we did the show at the All-Star break, we gave the team a very low grade. You know, should those grades be the same when you look at the season and the manager?
Right.
Yeah, I was thinking C minus, but at the end of the day, I just thought it did even out a little bit to the point where it was pretty average. You know, it didn't stick out to me that much. He also did some things that we questioned. And so I think it was very middle of the pack. So I'm going to go C.
I went C minus. I had him in the low D range before the last 2 months of the season.
Okay.
And I give him credit. And listen, being a manager or a coach is a hard thing, especially in baseball, because you're going to be judged on wins and losses, whether that's fair or unfair. But I trust my knowledge enough to know when a process is wrong and a process is right. For example, the Cubs went 34-26, I believe, in the 60-game season, and that was trending in a bad direction. But I still would have said David Ross did a nice job that year. There's nothing he can't. What is he going to do when Chris Bryant said 090?
Right.
You know, he did a good job that year. This year, I just felt like he wasn't doing a good job with pitching decisions, lineup configuration. And you make a really good point. How much of David Ross not doing a good job is him just following Jed's orders and Jed's not doing a good job? I don't know. I'm not inside the room. I can't speculate that, but you're definitely not far off on that. I'll say a C minus. I think this team was better than everybody thought it was this entire time. There was some bad luck with injuries, but I think he could have done a better job in the first half. There should never be a 10-game losing streak. There just shouldn't be.
That's really long.
My second question is to you, Matt. Mm-hmm. Let's assume that the Cubs signed some big names this winter. And let's assume that we really like this roster, or we're encouraged by this roster. Is there a certain win number you think the Cubs have to get to guarantee that David Ross is the manager in 2024? I'll start. If the Cubs finish under 500 this year, he will be fired.
Yeah, you've hinted at that before. So what's the win total that they should be at?
Yeah, what do you think is a win total? And again, it's hard to say because you got to watch the process. But is there a number where you're like, hey, if they hit this number with this with this potential roster, he deserves to finish out his contract year? Because you got to remember, baseball, they don't like going into your last year. They would probably extend them again.
85.
I think 85 might be a
I think it's got to be high.
I think 85 might be a tad low.
Okay.
I kind of think they have to be in the 87 to 89 range because let's say they're 84, 85. Couldn't you see them saying, hey, we're right there. We just need to get a Joe Maddon for Rick Renteria type switch or something like that.
Well, 85 probably means no postseason.
Probably. Right. Well, the Phillies were what, 86 this year?
Yeah.
Yeah. I really believe this is a pretty – and it hasn't been reported. And for whatever reason, again, you've made some good points in the limited time I've let you speak. But you've packed a lot of punch. Why do you think the media loves him so? Like, why do you think he gets such a pass in the media? Because of the World Series?
Because of his playing career and his post-playing career prior to being the manager.
Well, Joe Torre had a great playing career, and Dusty Baker's had a great. Dusty Baker won an NLCS MVP and a Rookie of the Year. They were much better players. I think just because of what he meant for the Cubs.
Yeah, because he played for the team that he's now managing for.
Yeah,
and I really think that he was a beloved figure. He was John Lester's personal catcher. He had a lot of good moments. He was the grandpa to Rizzo and Bryant. He was. Hayward, paid for all Ross's stuff that year. You could go down the list. And then his post-playing career, I think, struck a nerve, which I'm not saying is right. Sorry, I thought I had to sneeze there. I'm not saying that it's correct, but I do think the media has stuck to this narrative of Ross as a friendly person, a go-getter, a leader. And I think that, maybe we have become a little soft, the universal we, in terms of his post-playing career. Has that affected people's thoughts and feelings, more so than they realize? Here's a guy, and I can't believe I'm going to say this on the air, but I'm just going to throw out his resume, right? He was on Dancing with the Stars. He wrote a book. He was on ESPN. I think that, unfortunately, those might be factors in how the media and fans look at this person.
I took my headphones off after you said Dancing with the Stars.
Look. Well, after that, I said he wrote a book and he was on ESPN.
How many games has he won?
Well, I don't have that in front of me, but I know you're all about winning.
That's what it's about. It's about winning games. It's not about... Oh. It's not about his personality and that he's a cool guy. I don't care.
And I appreciate you for thinking that, but we need more like that, I think.
They lost 11 games in a row in 2021 with everybody's favorite Cub on it, whether it's Rizzo, Baez, Bryant, or Contreras.
That is a pretty big indictment.
This following list last year, they lost 10 in a row. David Ross needs to the Chicago Cubs, if they don't win this year, and you could sit here in the comments and say that I'm being unfair, and you are super valid, but this is just the fact of the matter because I've seen this 100 times. Mm-hmm. Don't listen to what Jed Hoyer says. If they have a disappointing 23, he will be the fall guy. Right. He needs to have a big year, and I think that's good. I like that there's pressure on him. He needs to manage every game importantly. Of course, there's going to be the 8-0 losses that you throw out, Tweedledee and Tweedledum in the 5th, 6th, 7th, and 8th. That's just part of 162 games.
Sure.
But he needs to lock in, and I think he's learned a lot this year, and I do give him a lot of credit because the players play hard for him, and you cannot say that about every manager. Now it's about winning. That's what it's about. Game on.
And I think appropriate pressure is going to be good for him. And I hope that it's something that stays consistent throughout the year.
And he can handle it.
And coming up next is best and worst of the week. Stick around.
Welcome back to Locked On Cubs. Best and worst. I got a pretty easy worst this week. Okay. Obviously, it's always hard for me to find my best. What is that that you keep flashing there?
This is a Sammy Sosa bobblehead.
Wow, where'd you get that?
I found it the other day. I was excited to show it on the air for a Friday show.
No, it is really cool, and he should be honored at the ballpark. My worst of the week was I got pulled over this week.
What?
And it was totally my fault. I wasn't paying attention, and one of those buses had a stop sign on, and I just went right past it.
Oh, boy.
And I did not get a ticket.
Okay.
But I do have to go to court.
Oh,
isn't
boy.
That a tad odd?
Yeah, it is. I'm actually a little bit concerned for you and the marketplace.
I think what they call is a citation. They call it as a citation.
Oh, boy.
So I'm going to go there.
Can you do it at the same time as your jury duty?
No. So jury duty is going to be, but listen, this is a Friday episode. As you're listening to this, I'll find out if I have to be at jury duty.
Okay.
Which I'm concerned about.
Bring your laptop.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Oh boy. That's an unfortunate worst.
Yeah. It's been a rough about 29 years.
I went into Starbucks the other day, and it was like Christmas time in there. Maybe that's my worst of the week.
Maybe, or are you saying
no?
That
it is. It is. I should have named the place. It's a large coffee chain. There's red and green everywhere, folks. It's November. You know, it's still early November.
Sure.
And not to be that person, but let's just cool our jets a bit.
Okay, yeah, right.
Branding on the cups as well already.
Why are we rushing?
I like this season. I enjoy it. But yeah, don't rush. Society wants there to be two seasons, summer and winter, and they're going to just roll with that.
Awesome. So my best of the
week. Yeah, I know it wasn't great.
No, it was good. It was good. It was whatever. Good. You're right. No, I'm not being... I'm not being sarcastic. You know me. I have a very hard time. My serious and sarcastic voices don't have much difference.
Right.
My best of the week is that today, right now in the sporting world, okay?
Yes.
If you're an addictive sport fan with no life, no friends, no nothing like myself, this is like speaking of Christmas for you.
Okay.
Let me just break it down right now.
Please.
Okay? It's prime NFL and college football season, okay?
Mm-hmm.
The NBA has just gotten going. College basketball got kicked off this week, and if you're listening to this show this evening, the Illini will play their second ball game. The Cubs are going to be extremely active in the next couple of months in their offseason, and the World Cup is just at the end of the month. It is coming from all angles right now. I'm a bit overstimulated, but I have something to do every second of every day, and I am really excited about it.
That's good. I'm glad to get that recap. My best of the week is Matt Mervis being named the Arizona Fall League All-Star Game MVP. Mervis is a great low-cost option at a position the Cubs have a need. Besides Jose Abreu, y'all need to stop suggesting other people. You know, maybe a Mancini, just because he could be a DH option too. He's also played some outfield. But Mervis, from start to finish, played real well. And what a way to put a bow on his season.
You know, if I had $5 for every time you wore an Iowa shirt, I'd be Bill Gates.
There's been a lot.
You wear an Iowa shirt three times a week on the air.
Well, I need to maybe boost my air wardrobe. Or I just don't care about it as much. I don't know. It's probably, I probably don't even realize it.
I think it's just kind of a shot towards me.
And it's partly that as well.
Yeah, right.
So.
All right. Well, this was a great show, Matt.
I don't understand how Illinois is still in the top 25 for the college football playoff. They lost a joke of a game. How are you still in the top 25?
No comment.
Okay.
What were they ranked?
21st. It's a joke.
Yeah, it's high. You can't lose that. The way they lost that home game. I actually haven't had a full meal since.
God, I wish you well.
All right. Well, that was an awesome show. Matt, take us home, please.
Be sure to hit that subscribe button for Locked On Cubs on YouTube and smash the like button on all your favorite Locked On Cubs content. Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. And remember, you can drop us a text, 312-834-4634. Thanks for making us your first listen every day. Now make your second. The Locked On Sports Today podcast. As Sam said, there's a lot going on in sports right now, and you can catch it all with Locked On Sports Today. Everybody have a great weekend. He's Sam Olber. I'm Matt Cozy. This is Sammy Sosa, and this is Locked On Cubs.